All right. We're recording.
I just need to turn this thing on. You can pass me that remote.
Well, sweetie, we do our intro first.
Yeah, but I want to fucking... First of all, I want to set it up. Second of all, you're going to ask me how my day was, and I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do it. This is my time.
It's not your time.
Yeah, it is. You're not the de facto fucking host. Tonight's fucking Jamie night. You're watching some shit that I want to watch, and you're going to respect it, and you're going to respect my intro.
Mm-hmm. Okay, babe.
It's going to hit hard.
Baby, you got to make sure your mic is a little bit closer to your mouth. Just
you have.
I need
to
good,
make sure
better levels.
Stuff. You have to make sure about stuff.
I'm trying.
So, it's going to be a little different around here, okay? Intro law. Intro changes to intros are coming around this motherfucker.
Okay.
All right. What kind of drink are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Floridita.
Why don't you explain a little bit about a Floridita?
Okay, well, a Floridita is like a rum daiquiri, but it has maraschino liqueur, Luxardo. And a couple friends of ours came over. They brought a bottle of Luxardo, and they said, we're making Floriditas.
What the fuck is Luxardo?
It's a maraschino liqueur. It's like a cherry liqueur.
My fucking gaping maw.
Yeah, I can.
If I just lay back on the couch, will you just pour it into my face?
Yes, but only if you bring the mic a little closer to your mouth so that I can get better levels.
You're the one who pinned it here. I don't know what to
tell
you.
There, great. Well, when you were lying down before, it was better.
I don't lie down, okay? I stand up.
That's not true. You lie down a lot. You might be lying down more hours of the day than you are standing.
If you want to talk about literally, but I assumed you were talking in metaphor.
No.
Well, metaphorically, I stand the fuck up. That's why I'm always lying down. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So, this is an important intro. If you had to cut
a finger off?
A finger off. And this is not a which question. This is not a which finger question. And you were given a hammer, a drinking glass. No, not a hammer. That's not a good one. Let's say you're given an axe and a drinking glass. And a or a gardening shears. Which would you choose?
How big is the axe?
It's a small axe.
Okay, I choose the axe.
Really? Small, though, but still to cut wood.
No, I know, but I think an axe...
Not finger-width small.
No, I understand, but I'm just thinking that I can take an axe and pretty swiftly chop off a finger. I put my finger on top of something and
okay, but the axe doesn't have a handle.
What?
Yeah,
that's such a weird arbitrary.
I forgot to say, you have to hold the axe in one hand.
Okay, well then I choose the shears, the gardening shears.
Okay. But similarly, well, not similarly, the shears are rusty.
I still choose the shears, I think. I'm just trying to think of what would be most effective and the quickest. Why are you asking me this?
I don't know. Because I'm high.
What would you use?
I guess I'd use the axe.
Doesn't have a handle, though.
I know.
So how are you going to cut your finger
just
off with
slam
it?
Slam it down from, hold it in my right hand.
It's not really going to work.
It's going to work. It's just going to hurt.
No. You're not gonna cut off your finger with that.
Absolutely. Hold a steel...
No.
Sharpened axe head and slam it down on your finger, you're going to cut right through it.
No, because you're going to try and then your hand's going to end up getting bloody and then the axe is going to be slipping in your hand and the bloody...
Wait, what? How's it going to get bloody?
Well, because obviously you're going to break the skin.
You don't think I'm going to get through a finger with an axe handle, with an axe head?
No, I don't think so.
I disagree. I really have to disagree here.
Well... prove it.
I'm going to have to not prove it as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we have been watching a lot of Naked and Afraid. I I feel like, is that where that's coming from?
Maybe. I hadn't thought of that.
We've been watching a lot of Naked and Afraid as of yesterday, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
We
started it before, though.
Well, we've seen it before, but
Where did we watch it?
We watched it in Jamaica. We went to...
In Jamaica?
Oh, no, not Jamaica. I'm sorry. The Bahamas. We watched it in the Bahamas. And,
I was going to say, sweetie, we've never gone to Jamaica, so that's weird.
Yeah. That was me and, the other man who takes me on vacations.
What's his name again?
His name is Rolf.
Rolf, like R-O-L?
Mm-hmm.
P-H?
Mm-hmm.
Or F?
I don't know. I've never seen it spelled.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Seems odd.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys went to Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Got my hair braided.
On the beach.
On the beach.
Man. That's some white shit. That's some pretty white shit.
Well, Rolf wanted it for me, so.
That's cool. Yeah. You guys have fun?
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What's he like?
He's mysterious. He's a mysterious man. I never know where I'm going until he sends me a ticket, and I just go, well, that's Rolf again. And I show up. We sleep in separate rooms, so I don't often see him.
Huh. I didn't think... Hold on.
I pretty much never see him.
Have you ever seen him?
I've never seen him. I just, butlers walk by constantly, and they put little notes down with what Rolf would like me to do, such as, go get your hair braided.
And you know it's Rolf for sure.
Yeah. Well, he's got his own stationery, so.
And probably the servants, the butlers and things, they probably have I'm with Rolf embroidery on there.
No. Mm-mm. Very, nondescript.
So we've suffered through some of your movies, right? Decent amount.
You
actually got a bonus movie, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, because it was my birthday. It was my birthday, and I'm still editing that podcast. The First Wives Club, I don't know, it was a tense night. We thought we might have COVID. The energy was a little off.
Yeah, I felt like a third wife that night.
I'm deleting that joke.
You're deleting that joke?
Because it's bad.
Doesn't matter if it's bad. I say let it just float out there.
Let it ride?
Let it ride.
Let's just let that joke ride.
Let that fucking joke ride.
So anyway, this is your first movie in a while. Because also, we recorded that over a month ago on my birthday. So.
That's right. That was over a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
God. We've been here for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah, First Wives Club. not incredibly enjoyable for me.
Well, I'm also going to chalk that up to the tense, circumstances.
No, you can actually attribute a lot of that to just the movie.
No, I won't.
Well, I'm letting you know. I'm choosing not to. You can though. You can pretty safely do that. Goldie Hawn was a revelation. She did some of the best physical acting. And physical comedy that I'd seen in a minute.
Yeah, she's great.
But everyone else...
Baby, we don't need to rehash it because it's in the last episode.
Well, the last episode's been lost.
It hasn't been lost. I was just editing it.
Well, it's lost.
It's going to probably go up tomorrow.
Lost to my interest and to the world. Well, fine. So the point being is that tonight is my fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, everyone who's on Team Jamie out here can... breathe a sigh of fucking exhausted relief.
Yeah.
Because we're going to run with a fucking classic tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have no doubt that we've lost listeners based on some of my movie picks.
You've almost lost a husband based on some of your movie picks. So,
yeah,
what are they doing it for? We're going to watch Brian De Palma's gangster classic, The Untouchables.
Oh, Brian De Palma. He's a famous director, right?
He is famous.
Sweetie. What else did he do?
None of the movies that you have watched as a child.
Like what?
Fuck, what did he do? I'm stoned. Brian De Palma did, I believe he did Scarface. That was maybe one of his early movies.
Uh-huh. Never heard of it.
I don't know if he did Scarface, actually. I'm super... Sweetie. I'm totally blanking. I don't know. What the fuck? I'm going to feel like a jackass, too, because I've seen a lot of his movies. Okay. Yeah, Scarface, Carrie, The Untouchables.
Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
I love Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie's great. Body Double, which is a fucking... actually, great movie that we should watch from 1984. Dressed to Kill, which is a very strange film with Michael fucking Caine. Michael Caine, yeah. Mm. He did the original Mission Impossible, which was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's done a bunch of great movies. He did Carlito's Way, which is debatable, but I still love it.
You know what? Carlito's Way, I haven't seen it, but I just remember that years ago you went on tour with Rat King, and... Wiki like had multiple copies of Carlito's Way, like for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I don't remember why he was talking about how he had like multiple DVDs of Carlito's Way or something.
Wiki's a strange kid. I mean, yeah. You know, or a man. anyone is a strange man who has more than one copy of that movie.
Yeah, it was something like that. I wish you should text him and be like, do you have multiple copies of Carlito's Way, or did you at one time own like or collect copies of Carlito's
Last
Way?
Last time I saw Wiki, it was when we were at Electric Ladyland and
doing the last record?
Yeah, mm-hmm. doing RTJ4 and fucking Esquire. Him and Esquire came just hammered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just showed up. I didn't even know they were coming. They just showed up.
Yeah, that all tracks.
Shit faced. And so fucking shit faced. The ex was so gone that I think Wiki was basically just trying to dump him off of me because he didn't know what to do
like,
with him.
Yeah,
that was funny.
So,
and I played them the record. They were so hammered. I don't even think they remembered it the next day.
Damn. Unlucky for them. Or lucky, depending.
Or lucky, depending on
how you feel about your record.
Yeah. depending on how you feel about a perfect record.
Mm-hmm.
And sick rapping.
Mm. Yeah.
So anyway, what was I saying? Anyway, yeah, Brian De Palma, and starring Kevin Costner in his greatest role. It wasn't his greatest role. Wasn't fucking the white guy becomes a Native American.
What? Oh, Dances with Wolves. I've never seen that.
You could argue that his greatest role is
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like he's such a great actor in that movie. He's just like I think he's fine.
He's great. He's highly charismatic.
I guess.
No, he is.
I guess
he is.
Yes, he's handsome. So
no, I didn't say handsome, but he is. But he was a great movie star, highly charismatic, very, very much just had charm. He was great.
Kevin Costner.
He was great. Some people are just great in movies until they're not. He was great in films, and this was kind of his best role. But, of course, he was surrounded by awesome people in this film. Robert De Niro was an amazing Al Capone. But, fucking, this is really Sean Connery's show here.
Uh-huh.
Andy Garcia is great too. It's one of his first roles.
What is Andy Garcia's most famous role? Is it The Godfather Part 3?
I mean, not to me, but like, you know, I guess
maybe Ocean's 11.
That's later in his career.
I know.
Yeah. He had a big run though. He had a big run in the 90s.
Yeah. This movie feels like, just based on the cast, it's like such a man's like a macho movie. Like a guy's movie.
It's a gangster film. Yeah, it is a guy's movie. It is. But it's beautiful. It's really incredibly shot. The music is by Morricone.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's fucking incredible.
Great.
It's really incredible. And I had this score from the moment it came out.
You know, normally on these podcasts, we have some sort of dessert. We're like, okay, well...
I don't do that anymore. I'm changing.
Yeah.
I might have to have a piece of chocolate.
I tried to purchase graham crackers today, and somehow they didn't make it home, and I don't know how that happened. And I do blame you.
Great. Why don't you just put a marshmallow on your finger, put your finger over the open flame, and
go
then
on.
Put a piece of chocolate in your mouth, and then suck the marshmallow off of your finger.
Well, that all sounds perfect, except for the fact that I need a crispy graham cracker to accompany the marshmallow and the chocolate. I'm not just doing marshmallow and chocolate. There are rules.
No one said don't get cookies of some sort. I don't know what happened, baby. I didn't see him.
Well, I'm just going to have another
cocktail,
I guess.
You were the one who was bagging shit up.
I was bagging stuff up, but you were the one putting it on the conveyor belt.
I was spending bags.
Uh-huh. All right, well, whatever. End of intro, I say.
I don't say end of intro. I wanted to talk to you about Robert De Niro and how he got fat.
You want to talk about Robert De Niro?
Yes, Robert De Niro.
He got fat?
Yeah, for this role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gained a bunch of weight for this role.
Good for him.
It was a big thing at the time. It was very impressive. I was like, whoa, he's fat.
That's interesting. Do you think it's as impressive when women lose weight for roles?
Sure, I think that people completely transforming their body for roles is kind of cool. Why? What is it? Why do you always talk through like an... Like, why does everything have to be put through like a combative feminist perspective?
Because that's just the lens through which I see everything, sweetie.
Clearly, it makes you a fucking joy.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about film. But first, have you thought about it this? Have you thought about this thing that isn't about that, but it is about something else? That I'm angry about?
I'm just trying to, you know, open your mind up a little bit, sweetie.
My mind is open, man. You're preaching to the fucking choir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. You want to compare...
Your mind is the choir?
My mind is the choir. My mind is the choir. You want to compare my perspective on feminism versus some of the other schmucks out there and tell me I'm not coming out on top?
Well, that's...
Yeah. What? That's what?
I was going to say that's a low bar. But yes, you're very progressive and you are a feminist,
that's
sweetie, and
correct.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I love you very much.
I did take your fucking last name, didn't I?
You really did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And why did I say that when we got married? When I spoke to the crowd and I told them that I was doing that.
Why?
Yeah. Do you remember what I said?
No.
I said because women are not our property. They are our partners.
You said that?
I did.
Oh, I don't remember that. All right. So we're going to watch this movie.
We're going to watch this shit, but now I need chocolate.
Okay, baby. So I guess we'll take a pause and then we'll watch it. Now, please enjoy listening to us watch The Untouchables. Spoilers ahead. Here we go. We're going to watch The Untouchables.
Let's do this fucking shit.
I'm Sean Connery. Is that a good impression?
Sort of. I'm Sean Connery.
I'm Sean Connery.
I'm Sean Connery. I'm Sean Connery.
Hello, and this is Sean Connery.
No, I lost it.
This is Sean Connery.
Feels like it's about to go into Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman.
It's not.
I know.
It's something much better. Malone. Sean Connery as Malone. The Untouchables with Sean Connery. Casting by Lynn Starr, Master and Associates. Costume designer Marilyn Monroe.
All right, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, wardrobe by Giorgio Armani. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are the Untouchables the mob guys or the police?
The police.
Uh-huh.
Ennio Morricone, rest in peace, God. David Mamet wrote it, I forgot to tell you. Man, they should just have David Mamet write every movie.
Oh, I don't think so.
He should write more than he does. I don't know, where is he? Where is he, that guy?
A playwright.
I know, but I'm just saying.
So maybe, was this a play they adapted?
No.
No, he just wrote a screenplay.
Uh-huh.
1930, Prohibition has transformed Chicago into a city at war. Rival gangs compete for control of the city's billion-dollar empire of illegal alcohol, enforcing their will with the band, with the hand grenade and Tommy gun. It is the time of the gang lords. It is the time of Al Capone.
Now disappear. Text. It is time. Be gone. Amazing opening shot.
We open on Al Capone, played by Robert De Niro.
He's in a barber's chair getting a straight razor shave while reporters stand by and ask him questions about his being the unofficial mayor of Chicago and violence associated with his business of illegal bootlegging.
I grew up in a tough neighborhood, and we used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word.
So true.
Capone goes on to admit that there is violence in Chicago, but not by him or anyone he associates with.
I think there's a certain little girl that's going to find out that maybe you haven't been telling the truth. She's going to find out the fiery hard way.
Huh. I've driven down one ways the wrong way at least three times in Chicago.
Now we see a little girl walk into an illegal bar posing as a laundromat to get some liquor for her sick mom. As she walks in, one of Capone's men is trying to sell the owner their liquor, but the owner refuses. Then the man walks out, leaving his briefcase.
Oh, there's a bomb. Ugh. Shit.
Yeah. Years later, that would be sampled. Her going, hey, mister, hey, mister. Pretty sure I'm right about this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong.
By who?
I think maybe Kool G Rap, when Kool G Rap definitely made the most fucking wrong hip-hop song of all time.
The most wrong?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It was, the chorus was like, hey, mister, hey, mister. I forget, but he was like, stop talking to me when I'm beating on my bitch or some
Yikes.
Shit. Like, it's super, it's like all about
beating
the shit out of women.
Beating the shit out of women and not being interrupted by a... And children not interrupting you while you're doing so.
Oh, about children, I think it was more just like concerned strangers. Like, hey, mind your business.
Yikes.
I'm beating that living hell out of this woman. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Not great.
Not great is an understatement. The song is called Hey Mister Mister, and the lyrics are incredibly violent and disturbing. And yes, it would appear that he sampled the Untouchables, so here is a very brief clip.
Hey Mister Mister, what the fuck you doing? Don't interrupt me when I'm whooping on my bitch ass.
Hey Mister!
Hey Mister!
Hey Mister!
And I remember listening in Stretch Armstrong played it on Stretch and Bobbito just based off of the fact that it was a brand new Kool G Rap jam.
He didn't listen first?
Nah, he didn't listen, and he played it, and him and Bob like stopped the record and apologized like for playing it.
Good.
It was that ill. Yeah, no, I mean they're good dudes. You know?
Yikes.
And I'm a big Kool G Rap fan, but it was just like holy shit, you're really just pushing boundaries there on that one.
Pushing boundaries?
Yeah, like scum.
You're just showing your fucking ass.
That too. Pushing the boundaries of even the worst thoughts. Just being like, have you thought of something terrible that you could say?
I would guess that somebody making a song about that is not just like, you know, that it's not just a fantasy song. I would guess that's based on reality.
I would guess that you're probably right about that, unfortunately. Anyway.
Well, he's not coming on our podcast.
Meanwhile, back at the perfect American household.
Look at those perfectly sliced carrots.
Now we see Elliot Ness, played by Kevin Costner. He's a special agent from the Treasury Department who's been sent to curb the sale of illegal liquor in Chicago.
I know that many of you take a drink. You've done before today is not my concern.
I know you take a drink.
I'm about to take a drink right now.
The Department of the Treasury has had a man undercover here for some time now.
That cop sort of looks like a person, one of my enemies, actually. One of my personal enemies.
You have an enemy?
Yeah, I have a couple.
Really?
People who have wronged me. Yeah, I hold grudges. He looks like somebody I have a current grudge against. So...
Sorry, this is bringing up some painful emotions.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, so wait, what are they doing? They're staking out a thing? A liquor bust.
Got inside information. There's a shipment coming in.
The shipment that Elliot thought was liquor turns out to be umbrellas, and feeling dejected and humiliated, he walks home along a bridge.
I was wondering about this, like, he's just walking back, but where's his car? I mean,
where's his car?
Yeah. He just wanted to take the long way because he's bummed.
He needed to be thoughtful.
But then the headline came out pretty quick, too.
I mean, yeah, you fucked up, dude. You thought you were busting alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Tell him, sweetie.
And you were busting, you know, umbrellas. You got some bad intel.
That note took on a little bit of a different tone.
Yeah.
More like mockery.
Yeah, your wife is proud of you for being a chump.
While on the bridge, Elliot runs into a beat cop named Malone, played by Sean Connery, who chastises him for littering.
I don't know. Sean Connery might be kind of hot.
He was hot.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
I've literally never thought of him as being attractive.
Oh, man. He was Bond. He was James Bond.
That's right. It's just, you know, it's got a distinguished confidence about him.
This is the music that I want to play whenever I walk into a room. Just swanky.
I want to get one of those cute little trays.
We used to have them when we were kids.
For breakfast in bed.
We used to eat breakfast in bed sometime.
Yeah, so you can make me breakfast in bed. They're painting Kevin Costner as this, like, idealistic cop, but at the end of the day, you're cracking down on bootleggers and people drinking liquor. And
no, the end of the day is cracking down on the organized crime around it that was killing people. Watch the movie and get down with this fucking Untouchables squad.
I don't know. I'm team mob on this one, I think.
You think so?
Yep.
Even after the girl was blown up by a fucking suitcase bomb?
Well, she shouldn't have been in there.
I mean, look, I get how you feel.
I mean, I do appreciate that Kevin Costner is handsome. I have to pee.
Okay, I have to smoke.
Fine.
Fine, then.
We're back, baby. Unexpectedly.
This is Sean Connery. This is Sean Connery.
This is Sean Connery. Nope.
This is Sean Connery.
That's pretty good, babe.
This is Sean.
Why don't you say something else? Sorry.
I don't need to say anything else. I wish I could help with her. I wish it caught me 10 pounds lighter. Oh, Mr. Ness. And that's why I'm walking the beat.
He really loves his beat, but I have a feeling he's gonna come around. Wait, before you resume playing.
All right, hold on.
I guess where we left off yesterday was that Elliot Ness was trying to get Sean Connery to
help
join
him, and
him?
He said no.
He said, Mr. Ness, I wish I'd met you 10 years ago and 20 pounds lighter. I'm Sean Connery, though,
okay.
So, you know,
yes.
It's not.
Yep.
Yep. So, that's
that
where
was
we
the
were.
Gist of what
and then
was
he
happening.
Came in, then he came in, and the accountant, the guy, the Treasury Department, like, they sent him another guy, and he turned out to be an accountant.
Oh, right.
And he just walked
that
out.
That guy with the glasses. But I feel like there's a reason they sent an accountant.
Oh, there is.
Because he needs accounting done. It's tax season, right?
Yep. It's tax time.
Here's how you get it. You pull the knife, you pull a gun. You send one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago.
Nice. You send one of his to the mall. That's nice.
The morgue.
You send one of his to the mall, see if there's any sales and deals.
Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness? Yes. Good. Because you just
do.
Oh.
No. Well, okay, maybe I
just stabbed you in the hand under this pew. Yeah.
Maybe I didn't quite understand it.
Thought usually you entered into a blood oath voluntarily.
While putting together their team, Malone tells Elliot that if he's scared of getting a rotten apple, aka a dirty cop, then you get it off the tree. So, they go to the police academy, aka the tree, to see the new recruits.
If you don't want to get a rotten apple, then you don't eat apples. You eat only oranges. There he is. What's his name?
Andy Garcia.
The most promising of the new recruits is a man named George Stone, played by Andy Garcia, who, after being interrogated by Malone, admits that his real name is Giuseppe Petri, which then causes Malone to call into question his real motivations for wanting to become a police officer.
See, that's how you get a good, loyal soldier.
Yeah, you got to show a little initiative, you know?
You got to show a little racism and initiative. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Fell for the old...
With racism.
Using a slur against him trick. Works every time.
A little racist ping pong. Just a little back and forth.
Should I start smoking a pipe like that?
Honestly.
Just kind of pipe tobacco?
I mean...
Would that be sexy, or...
Could be cool.
With Stone on board, the Untouchables conduct their first successful raid on one of Capone's liquor caches, and then the four men pose for a picture.
It's like the beginning of The Descent.
Yeah, one of them's super into extreme sports.
They're all going to get eaten by cave people.
This is a classic scene.
A man become preeminent, he's expected to have enthusiasms.
Enthusiasms. Enthusiasms. What am I?
What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Fish. Baseball.
That speech was given by Al Capone and culminates with him bashing in the head of the man whose operation got busted with a baseball bat.
This dude's life is just Norman Rockwell'd up.
Yeah.
It's like, I love you, God, Jesus.
I please, love you, Daddy.
Mommy, can I have an apple, America?
Back at Elliot's house, we see his wife, played by Patricia Clarkson, praying with his young daughter. And then soon after, she invites Elliot to brush her hair.
That's hot.
Incidentally, brush my hair meant fuck me in the ass.
Yeah. I was going to say it would be funny if it cut to a scene with him just like gently brushing her hair.
Share your good fortune. Such a lovely day.
He looks like the villain from
Roger
Toontown.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yep.
From Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
Dude is actually a toon.
What is that? In Roman times, when a fellow was convicted of trying to bribe a public official, he would cut off his nose and sew him in a bag with a wild animal and throw that bag in the river.
Tell your master. Can you cite your sources on that? I'm not sure if people really did that.
And then they would take that bag out and they'd let it dry in the sun and they'd light that bag on fire. They'd put it out again.
And they'd take the ashes and they'd mold them into decorative soaps.
After unsuccessfully sending the man who looks like the villain from Who Framed Roger Rabbit to attempt to bribe Elliot, Capone sends a hitman, Frank Nitti, to threaten him outside his house.
Ooh, he's wearing white gloves.
He's got a sort of pizzazz.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to put on my Sunday best to go threaten this guy outside of his house. He's like, I've been stuck in the house all day.
Sweetie, where are my Sunday threat gloves?
After being threatened, Elliot moves his wife and daughter to a safe location and then is told by Malone that he has information about an international shipment coming from Canada. So the four men go and stake out the Canadian border.
Funny fact, you know how they always show binoculars like that in a camera with the two circles?
Uh-huh.
That's not actually how binoculars look when you look through them.
No, well, you're right. They just look like one image because you're looking through your two eyes. It's not like... When you're looking through your two eyes, you see two circles.
Correct.
But I never thought about that until just now. Yeah. So lucky that Kevin Costner just happened to meet the Sean Connery character who was just telling him everything about how he should be doing his job.
Who also didn't exist.
Right, I'm sure.
No, it's just, he didn't. It's a fact.
Yeah, I believe you.
I don't want to argue with you, sweetie.
Sean Connery doesn't exist.
Sean Connery has never existed.
He's a fabrication.
That's just a fact.
Did the actors actually ride horses?
Yeah.
You think Kevin Costner actually rode a horse?
Yeah. He's like that dude.
Who does his own stunts?
Nah, he's like a horse guy. He's like a fucking... Oh.
I looked it up, and apparently it's true. Kevin Costner is a very skilled horseback rider, and he always does his own horse stunts. I don't know about the other actors, though.
You ever read his autobiography? Rider of Horses?
No, I didn't read that one.
Horse of Destiny?
The Kevin Costner story?
Assisted by the Canadian Mounties, the Untouchables ambush Capone's men and take one of Capone's bookkeepers into custody.
Damn, you're mucking with a G here. It's a good line.
Yeah, I used it in a rap song.
Oh.
I used it in fucking Talk to Me and Run the Jewels 3.
Oh, cool.
You're mucking with a G here. Talk to Me. That's what I said.
Oh, I've never listened to your music, so I guess I've heard it.
Okay, well, a lot of people are into it. A lot of people think it's pretty good, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should just consider...
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely think about it now.
Checking it out.
You drop a lot of movie references.
Yeah, I do. And I drop you like a fucking hot movie reference.
You're going to drop me like a hot movie reference?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
I guess I have heard that line in that song.
You're mucking with a G here, she ain't talk to me. Maybe listen to the man that really dies his whole body.
Oh, no, it's actually not Talk to Me. It's in Down. Yeah.
Something of mine who does his own lobotomy, right?
Not exactly, baby, but you got at least the word lobotomy, right, so.
I thought about rapping a little slower so people can really pick up on the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
I have thought about that.
Here, Sean Connery shoots a man who is already dead to scare his accomplice into giving up information.
That's, you know, a little bang for your buck. Get it? Bang for your buck? A complete
translation.
Sweetie?
What? Are you watching the movie or just babbling?
I said, that's really getting a lot of bang for your buck.
Oh, that's not funny at all. So, no need to pause the movie for that joke.
It wasn't supposed to be funny.
Wait,
but...
sweetie.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Mm.
In terms of bang.
Yeah.
Bang for your butt. Yeah. Woo! Mm-hmm.
Good thing we have one of these gorgeous hangover candles lit, so hopefully it'll, burn out the
Thank
smell
you,
of
hangover
your
candles, for sending us more candles. I'm using it to cover up my farts.
Yep.
Maybe you should use that in your promotional
materials. Yeah, something
materials.
To think about.
But we are. We've lit the Run the Jewels candle, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know what flavor it is, but it smells good.
It's the flavor of Run the Jewels.
When Capone finds out his whole shipment has been confiscated, he is not happy and proclaims that he wants Elliot Ness...
Dead! I want his family dead! I want his house burnt to the ground! I want to go to the middle of the night! I want to piss on his head!
Just tell me, are you being careful?
Careful, no.
Mrs. Ness, I think your husband just became a man who got Al Capone.
And that's exactly how easy
and
it's going to be.
End.
Back in Chicago, the DA announces that they are bringing a case against Capone for tax evasion, in large part based on the testimony of the man that was captured on the Canadian border.
Oh, it's that guy. Is she in on it?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the witness, who is being escorted in the service elevator by Oscar Wallace, the accountant and fourth member of the Untouchables, is shot by Capone's hitman Frank Nitti. Wallace is also shot and killed, and the hitman writes "touchable" in blood on the wall.
That's what you get for being arrogant, calling yourself untouchable. You're just daring someone to touch you.
They didn't call themselves.
Sweetie, call yourself untouchable. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Do it and see what happens.
I don't want to do it.
Say it, babe.
Baby, this is an important scene. You should watch it. And also, I just farted, and it's terrible.
I'm just going to move the candle right over here.
Yeah, I'd hate to see it happen.
Okay, wait, so why are they fighting? Because this cop, like, gave him information? That was his source?
They've known each other forever. This cop is basically like, you know, the cops are bought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically, you know, gone along with it. And he's like, you need to fucking tell me where I can find this guy.
Which guy?
The bookkeeper, so they can decipher the ledger.
Oh, I thought the bookkeeper was the guy that got shot.
No. He's a guy who could help. He's a witness, but he was in...
Yeah.
He got killed. So the DA won't go forward with the trial unless they get a witness or bookkeeper. The bookkeeper.
So that's why the bookkeeper was in the news?
The bookkeeper has been subpoenaed. So that's he just said, Al's, we got to get out of town while Al fixes the subpoena.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Amazing that I actually...
Yeah.
That you don't... None of that actually sunk in for you, huh?
It's not that it didn't sink in, I just missed it.
Well, it is also that it didn't sink in, isn't it?
No, because information can't sink in if you don't hear it.
I'm just saying you were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just interesting. It's mysterious.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Who is that, our guy from before?
Mm-hmm.
Is he wearing his gloves? Because that's how you know he means business.
His killing gloves?
Yeah. Must be the killing gloves. You know that song?
I don't.
Fate up against your gloves.
Next, we see a man sneak into Malone's apartment and then lure him outside, where Frank Nitti, old murder gloves himself, is waiting with a machine gun to shoot him full of holes.
Okay, so Sean Connery's dead.
It's not looking great.
Yeah.
But not before he tragically... It's gonna stretch out a bit. Let's just put it that way.
If you had just, like, shot that dude and closed your door. I miss being at the opera and having one of my cronies coming to tell me that they killed someone. You know, that you don't think about that, but you can't do that in COVID.
It's true. I took it for granted.
Malone's, my dead.
Malone's, my hurting, that's for sure. Okay.
Malone's, my not alive now.
My not looking too good. It's,
Can't gasp your final words into your colleague's face anymore, thanks to COVID. It's another thing. I feel like Andy Garcia's character has this sort of like bashful quality to him.
He's about to get some shine, though.
Yes, sir. Is this the famous scene?
Mm-hmm.
The famous scene takes place at Chicago's Union Station. Before he died, Malone found out that Capone's head bookkeeper, not the guy who died in the elevator, is attempting to flee. And as he's dying, Malone gives Elliot a train schedule with the train he's planning to flee on circled. So, the men stake out the train station, but while they're waiting, there is a woman with two bags and what looks to be the heaviest carriage in the world, laboring to bring them all up the stairs.
Sweetie, did you know that I frequently help women carry strollers up the subway stairs and down the subway stairs?
Do you?
Yes.
That's awesome, babe.
Like...
Did you know that I frequently get into gunfights?
No.
In train stations?
I didn't know that. I didn't think you took the train.
That's why I stopped. Fucking strollers were a little heavier back in the day.
Yeah. See, all these people, someone could have offered to help her. Like what I always do when I'm in the subway. Which is why I have such good karma. Just leave the baby behind. It's dead weight.
Finally, after watching her struggle forever, Elliot, being the gentleman that he is, goes to help the woman with her stroller.
I really feel like he could have picked that stroller up. But maybe that's not as cinematic.
He's holding a shotgun in one hand.
Okay, wait, why is he in the train station?
Oh my God, are you fucking serious, man? You literally missed the guy, their fucking best friend, dying, telling him that the guy, the bookkeeper, was going to be on the train.
I don't remember him telling him that.
What do you think that he was clutching the piece of paper and he was going, the bookkeeper, bookkeeper, the bookkeeper's going to be on this train?
I thought
that was literally just what happened.
I just didn't hear what he said.
And then they were in the car, and he said the bookkeeper is going to be at the train at 12:05. It's amazing how much just flies by you, and you literally don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
just so wrapped up in, you know, just the elegance of it all, the pageantry.
While Elliot is still helping the woman up the stairs, the bookkeeper and Capone's men show up. A gunfight ensues, and the stroller starts rolling down the stairs until George slides in just in time to keep it from hitting the floor, and then shoots the man who is holding the bookkeeper at gunpoint.
She's like, you really didn't need to help me. If you were going to be getting into a gunfight, I could have just done it myself.
After grabbing the bookkeeper to testify, they finally bring Capone to court.
Sweetie, they're in a courthouse now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you don't understand.
I love that. I'm surprised that many people were allowed in the courtroom.
In the courtroom, Elliot spots Frank Nitti with a gun and has him taken out. Then after having him empty his pockets outside, he finds a matchbook with Malone's address on it. And when he brings it up, Nitti shoots the police officer and a chase ensues.
Gonna push him off the roof? You know, that's where hubris will get you.
Right off the fucking roof in the top of Model T Ford.
That's right.
I just can't... I can't explain how much I'm farting, baby.
Well, I guess thanks to these hangover candles, I can't tell. Sorry. You think it was my kimchi stew?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Hmm.
In the end, Capone is convicted, and in the final scene, a reporter tells Elliot that they're saying Prohibition will be repealed and asks him what he'll do now, to which Elliot responds, I think I'll go have a drink.
Oh,
you scamp.
You fucking scamp. How many people died? Oh, you fucking crazy copper. They say they're going to repeal cocaine. What are you going to do?
I'm going to fucking do a bump
off a
hooker's tit.
I'm going to have a fucking bump. Yeah. I'm going to go into the fucking bathroom with some dive bar and have a bump. Come back and fucking just gnash my teeth.
I'm going to grow out my dirty Coke nail and then I'm going to do some and I'm going to tell them about my pilot idea.
I'm finally not going to cut that pinky nail that I had to sadly shave down over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, man.
I liked
it. It's a fucking classic.
Yeah.
Everyone in their prime.
Yep. Yeah, it's beautifully shot. Good writing.
It's great writing. I fucking love this script. I mean, you know, it's very Hollywood, but it's like really fucking well done.
Yeah.
They took a lot of liberties, of course, with history.
Yeah, for instance, naturally.
For instance, Capone didn't wear that coat. That was just for the movie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's not his actual coat?
No, a lot of people didn't know that. I worked on a Capone movie, so I'm
You're kind
familiar.
Of an expert.
Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, my Capone movie was just how Al Capone wandering around shitting himself.
Yeah. No, but that, you know, it's important that that story gets told, too.
I'm just glad that I... You know?
You're the Ennio Morricone of the shit.
Mm-hmm. Of the
Capone movie.
The Capone shitstorm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That chapter of his life.
But equally as deserving of a score and a story and a movie.
I just tried to be sensitive to. I just tried to get to make you. Understand to feel what Capone was feeling when
he was shitting
himself.
Yeah. Yeah, and you did.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, this movie, I mean, it does have a good script. Of course, I always wish there were any women in it. Literally one woman spoke in this entire movie. No, two, I'm sorry, because there was a woman with
her
baby.
You already established that ahead of time, going in.
I know.
I warned you about that.
I get it.
You have to understand, it wasn't until about the 50s that women were even allowed to speak.
Mm-hmm. The 1950s?
Yeah. Right around 1950, yeah. When in general, I mean, in films.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they could speak.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about in films, it was illegal.
Mm.
You know, films were...
It was like Shakespeare. It was, you know, all the men playing women's parts. Because women weren't allowed to act and speak.
The point of film is for dudes to be, you know, to hang out.
Just to hang out on film and costumes.
And just sort of fantasize about just kind of being cool.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No, you're right. That is the point of film.
Yeah.
And I forgot that for a second. And that was my bad.
And it's cool. I mean, I love you. It's not like it didn't change anything for me, you know?
Good. Well, your incessant farting didn't change anything for me either, sweetie.
It didn't really change anything for me either.
Sean
Connery was the shit, though, right?
Yeah, he's great.
So fucking
he's
good.
Great. They should remake this movie with an all-female cast, just like Ghostbusters.
Shot for shot.
Shot for shot.
Yeah.
But only a female cast. I think it, who would be the female Al Capone? Who can you picture in that?
Definitely fucking, what's her face? She was in Ghostbusters. Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy would make a great Al Capone.
Yeah, or maybe Gina Gershon.
No. Melissa McCarthy is the right choice for Al Capone.
Yeah, she is the right choice.
And Elliot Ness.
Gina Gershon?
What? No, I don't know if Gina Gershon has a... Gina Gershon could be the Gershon Andy Garcia part.
The Andy Garcia part. Okay, that's fine. We'll work on this.
Yeah. So, you know, if our listeners feel like sending us the cast that they would use for the all-female reboot of The Untouchables.
Don't.
And it's actually a gender-swapped reboot, so that means that the two female parts in this version are actually going to be played by men, and those are the only two men in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the Patricia Clarkson part, the like...
But here's what I'm suggesting.
Gentle...
Everybody dresses the same, too.
Yeah, no, obviously.
You know what I mean? Like, same suits,
yes.
Same everything.
Yes.
I think that Rosie O'Donnell could play the older Irish cop that Malone beats the shit out of.
Mm. Okay. Sure. But who would Malone be? Who would play Malone?
I would go for... I would say...
Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
I think it could be Queen Latifah.
But she'd have to do an Irish accent. That's the thing.
I think she's got it in her, and I think I could see her being authoritative
charisma, yeah.
And really, you know, charismatic and confident. And she's got some acting chops, you know.
Does she?
I think so.
I don't remember ever seeing Queen Latifah except in Set It Off.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing her in anything that was like, oh, she was good. I love Queen Latifah. Like, I loved her when I was a kid. I actually loved her record. All Hail the Queen.
No, I think she could play that part, though. I can't... She had a great run on 30 Rock, actually, where she played, like, a congresswoman.
Really? I missed that whole shit.
Maybe that's why I'm thinking of her, because she plays this very, like, confident congresswoman who... Yeah.
All right, so fuck it, Latifah. And then, Liz Lemon, what's her name? She could be the accountant.
Tina Fey?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if she's the one.
Look, I'm not here to fight with you about
it.
We're
just throwing names in a hat.
No, I'm doing more than that. I mean, I'm sort of was.
Well, we'll just figure out the cast later. We're not. It's not. Nothing's definite now. Let's end the podcast, right? Anything else you want to add? I was. You know what I thought? Like, it's amazing that I couldn't follow that plot. But I somehow able to follow the First Wives Club, which has so many... Even when I was doing the voiceover for First Wives Club today, I was like, God, there's so many different things to keep track of, so many pieces of information to keep track of in this movie.
It was really dazzling how little you kept track of this movie. It was really impressive.
Yeah.
Mm.
I have a hard time listening
to
men
speak. You'd just be like, wait, so
where
are they?
That's
why
right.
are they in this? Why are they here?
Yeah, I zoned out a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, but this is a good movie, so.
It is.
And you know what? I'm even willing to let you pick the next movie since I got two in a row.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
God damn. It's fucking movie. It's my movie birthday.
Yeah. It's movie Christmas.
Sounds like movie birthday Christmas to me. I think also because you secretly know that I just. No, you know, I'm playing you good movies.
I'm playing you good movies, too.
Oh, sweetie. I love you so much. I really do.
Mm.
Through all your weird little foibles, including that sentence.
Foibles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
foibles?
Okay. Want to sign off?
Signing off, Captain.
Okay.
Until whatever and however many months it takes for us to do another one. Oh!
Yep. Oh, baby, oh, you're God. Still attached to the mic.
Yeah.
All right.
Story of my life.
The Panducto Corn cast is created by Jamie Moline and me, Emily Panic. The theme music is by Jamie, and editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, subscribe, and spread the good word. Thanks for listening. See you next time.